Let's open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. Here we have the continuation of the prayer for Christian growth that Paul prays on behalf of the Colossian believers. Let's read the whole prayer beginning with verse 9. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Let's look at some background notes concerning this prayer for Christian growth. Paul is writing this letter to the church at Colossae from prison. He was arrested for being a Christian, and he's awaiting his trial in Rome. He's actually under house arrest. We refer to it as Paul's first Roman imprisonment, and it was in the early 60s AD. The church at Colossae had been planted during Paul's third missionary journey in the middle 50s AD. While Paul is imprisoned in Rome, he hears about some false teaching that is circulating around the area of Colossae. It has not yet made inroads into the Colossian church, but Paul is concerned. He does not want the Colossian believers to be vulnerable in any way. And so he writes this letter to warn the church and to urge them to become stronger and more mature in the faith. This prayer for Christian growth is toward that end, that the Colossian believers would grow strong and mature as Christians. In verses 9 and 10, we saw in our last talk that Paul prays that the Colossians would be spiritually sensitive and have a worthy walk. Now here in verses 11 through 14, we see that Paul prays that the Colossian believers would be strengthened with power, verse 11, and that they would have a thankful temperament, verses 12 through 14. Now let's remember that this is not just a prayer by the Apostle Paul for the Colossian believers of the first century. This is the Word of God to us today as believers. And that brings us then to our doctrinal points or teaching points from this portion of the prayer. Doctrinal point number one, God wants His children to be strengthened with promised power. God wants His children to be strengthened with promised power. Look at verse 11 once again. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. God's power is promised to us. His enabling power is available to us. God never asks us to do something that He doesn't give us the strength to do. The power that's promised here is available for every good work that God has for us. Notice verse 10 once again. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might. So every good work that God has for us to do, He gives us the power to carry out. It's according to His power, not ours. Now, what are the results of being strengthened with God's promised power? Well, here we see there in verse 11, patience and long-suffering. So one result is patience, or steadfastness, or endurance. The word has to do with bearing up when you cannot get out from under it, taking it without complaint, refusing to buckle under pressure. It's the same word that's used in Hebrews 12:1. Let us run with patience, or endurance, steadfastness, the race that is set before us. The Christian life is hard, but God gives us power, the power necessary. Now I want you to notice what the results are not. The Scripture doesn't say that if we avail ourselves of this promised power that we'll be able to do miracles, we'll be able to do some spectacular signs. No, when we're strengthened with the power of God, the result is steadfastness or patience, endurance. And then we see a second result, long-suffering. Or patience. This word is also translated patient. The idea is long-suffering, taking abuse without blowing up or retaliating, even when you have the power to do so. This is possible because of God's power. I remember when our daughter Kathy got her driving license. She pulled out of the garage and creased our station wagon against a telephone pole. Well, Kathy came in and told me about it. Well, what does a father do when a daughter has just gotten her driving license and this happens to the station wagon that isn't too old? No dents in it. Well, I remember I shot up an arrow prayer to the Lord. Lord, give me long suffering here. Give me patience. And the Lord did. I can't believe it. But Kathy did not do this on purpose. This was no act of defiance. And so I asked the Lord for long suffering, for patience. And the Lord gave that because he does promise us his power. And this power is not for doing miracles and lots of spectacular signs, something like that. But notice what the scripture says, that we're strengthened according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering, for steadfastness, for endurance, for patience, for long suffering. And notice it's with joy. It's not like just having the stoic attitude, keep a stiff upper lip, something like that, but you're really uptight on the inside. No, you can do it with joy. God makes this possible through his power. It's not possible in any other way. Doctrinal point number two. God wants his children to have a thankful temperament. God wants his children to have a thankful temperament. Look at verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. And now we see some of the reasons why we can be thankful. Why can we have a thankful temperament? How is it possible to have a thankful temperament? Believe it or not, five reasons are given in these three verses here. The first is because of our inheritance. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Because of our inheritance, we can be thankful. We're going to be with the Lord in heaven forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 talks about our inheritance that's reserved in heaven for us. We've been made fit or qualified to be partakers of this inheritance. We're qualified now because the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to us. Now, I don't know whether there's going to be skiing in heaven or golf in heaven or some of those things that give us pleasure now, but it's going to be great. It's going to be the greatest. This inheritance alone should be enough to give us a thankful temperament. But secondly, we see that we can have a thankful temperament because of our deliverance. Verse 13, he delivered us from the power of darkness. We were delivered. Not we will be delivered. We were delivered from Satan's domain. When we became Christians, we were delivered from the power of darkness. And thirdly, we see that we can have a thankful temperament because of our transfer. Again, verse 13, delivered from the power of darkness and translated us or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We were in the domain of darkness, whether we realized it or not, but we've been translated. We've been transferred. Did you ever get a job transfer? Think of the worst possible scenario right now. Some job that you have, which is low paying, long hours, lousy conditions, maybe in Newark, New Jersey. But now you get a transfer to a high paying job, short hours in Hawaii. Well, that kind of transfer can't even compare with what's taken place in our lives. We've been transferred, translated out of the domain of darkness, Satan's domain, from the power of darkness, into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Fourthly, we see that we can have a thankful temperament because of our redemption. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. In redemption, you have the concept of being bought back from slavery. We've been redeemed. The ransom price was the blood of Christ. Mark 10, verse 45. says the Lord Jesus gave his life a ransom for many. And fifthly, we see that we can have a thankful temperament because of our forgiveness. Again, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We're forgiven forever. Implied in this word is the idea of remission of the punishment due to sin, as well as the removal of the cause of offense. Certainly to appreciate these blessings, our inheritance, our deliverance, our transfer, our redemption, our forgiveness, certainly to appreciate these blessings will result in a thankful temperament. God wants his children to have a thankful temperament. Practical application from this section of the prayer for Christian growth. Let's take advantage of what's available to us. Let's take advantage of what's available to us. What we're referring to here is the power of God, as we've seen in our doctrinal point. The power of God is available to us. It's promised power. The very power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us. Not to do signs and miracles and whatever we want, but to be able to endure and to be steadfast and patient and long-suffering. Let's take marriage, for example. Are you saying that the romance is gone in your marriage? There's no more spark and you're not happy anymore? Well, do words like endurance, patience, long-suffering, do they ring a bell? Well, if you want to do God's will and keep that marriage, the power of God is available to give you the supernatural strength you need for the patience and long-suffering and endurance and steadfastness that's required. Let's take advantage of what's available to us. The power of God is available to us. If you know Christ as your Savior, the power of God is available to you. Let's take advantage of what's available to us. Practical application number two. Let's take stock in what we've got. Let's take stock in what we've got. Now, we've seen in this prayer for Christian growth that we are to have a thankful temperament. And we've seen how it's possible because of our inheritance, because of our deliverance, because of our transfer, because of our redemption, because of our forgiveness. These blessings are ours. Now let's take stock of what we've got. It's so easy not to be thankful because of our looks, because of the weather, because of the food in the cafeteria, because of the price of gas, because of politics, because of our setbacks, because of our fellow believers. But let's take stock in what we've got. As far as eternal realities are concerned, we have it made. This should help us to have a thankful temperament. It should even make us happy. Let's take stock in what we've got.